Coming up on episode 7 of season 2 of Zero Doinks, the schedule is out. Where do the boys think that the Bears are going to fall? Obviously, they'll be a number 1 seed, right? We'll let you know what we think. A little bit of Hams and Bread is back. We'll talk about what there is to gamble on sports, as well as our projections for sports re-emerging in the United States of America, plus lots more, including the Bears signed Ted Ginn and a safety. We're going to talk all about it, as well as The Last Dance entering its final 2 episodes. Bulls, Bears, a lot of talk. Things are red hot. Thanks for joining us. Ah!
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks, episode 7, season 2. We are back. We're better than ever. We're coming with Bears news that we didn't break, but the Bears schedule is out. We cannot wait to talk about it. Dan, how you doing, buddy? You are in a different setting than last episode. Let's just say that. Where are you?
Pulling a Bill Doinks here and changing the scenery behind me. I'm outside in my yard, and I'm feeling very awkward because it is dead silent out here. And yeah, I got relocated out of my normal recording space for reasons that don't need to be discussed, but I'm glad the weather has improved so I could do this. There's rain in the forecast, so that could get interesting. But I'm doing good. I'm doing great. It's not too chilly. I look, do I look creepy? Like I'm seeing myself and I'm worried someone's going to pop up behind me.
Perhaps a real horny John Fox. It's possible.
Just
right?
hip thrusting everywhere. I wouldn't be shocked. We've had Fox sightings around here recently. My neighbor's walking their dog across the street, probably wondering what the fuck I'm doing. They'll never know.
No, they won't. You look great, I think. Not creepy at all. You're wearing a Bears winter hat. You look cozy. You have yourself probably an ice cold Hams right now, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Nice. That is awesome. Well, we are very excited to be back in Zero Doink Studio tonight. What? No, that's not a thing. We are going to talk Bears schedule as well as some of that weird hot, not really news, but there's a lot of Twitter controversy about the Bears and a certain quarterback they did not draft. We'll talk about that next segment. We will also bring back, of course, America's favorite gambling segment, Hams and Bread. And it's going to be great. This is the first episode we have done as official members of the Anchor family. Anchor.
Ooh.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Anchor.
Thank you so much, Anchor. Anchor's away. Anchor's down? Anchor down? No. Is that a Vanderbilt thing?
Maybe. Dropping trow?
Yeah. Dropping trow? Yeah. Thanks, Anchor, for letting us drop trow on your podcast.
We appreciate it. We're still going to be very explicit. So you're not going to change us, Anchor. You're not.
No fucking way.
We're going to be talking about penises.
Especially Tom Selleck's.
Unkempt, I'm sure. Thank you. But
yeah, thanks, Anchor. Well, I don't know. I don't know. This could be a good episode. It's going to be, might be short and sweet. We always say that, and then ends up being like 3 hours long. So we'll see what happens.
That's right. Absolutely. Your hands look huge. I don't know if it's because you're outside. Do your hands grow in the cold? Is that what happens to you?
Yeah, the opposite of Costanza, non-Costanza, your hands grow.
Exactly.
But the penis gets smaller.
Oh, yeah. Who cares about proportions, right, Vern Troyer?
He's a tripod. All right, maybe we should go to the next segment.
All right, we're going to talk Bears schedule, freshly released, coming at you next.
Hump, 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 John Fox, hump, 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 hump.
Interesting, because for days now there has been this speculation back and forth whether or not the North Korean leader was actually dead. What do we actually know at this point?
Well, there appears to be more evidence this weekend that he is alive, Michael, and that he's at a coastal resort, but the state of his health is unclear.
Welcome back to Zero Doinks. Talking very quietly because I believe there's a squirrel nearby
or a bear. I'm not sure. Bears. Welcome back. Season 2, episode 7. Is that right,
Nailed
Bill?
It.
Okay. Yeah, welcome back. Thank you, Anchor, once again, for hosting us, if you will. Thank you, Hams, for being a beautiful bitch of a sponsor. Oops, didn't mean to call you a bitch. But this segment here, we're going to tick through the Bears' schedule. I say it probably makes sense for us to go 4 games at a time, but, you know, this is a very early meathead prediction here. We'll maybe reassess this once camp starts, because camp is going to start. I'm putting that out there. We're going to have football. It's going to be great. God bless America. But let's do that, Bill. First, let me get your thoughts just on the Bears' schedule as a whole. There's, what are there, 4 primetime games?
Yeah, there are. I think the Bears got pretty good respect considering they were 8-8 last year. So, they do have 4 primetimers. They have a Thursday night. They've got 1 Sunday night and 2 Monday night. So that will be great. I'm sure, you know, we'll talk about how we think the results are going to go, but I'm sure they'll get flexed into another primetime game,
so?
Right, Dan?
You think so? I mean,
we'll see. We'll see how this shakes out.
Yeah, what jumped out to me is we have a lot of noon games at the beginning and the end of the season, which I don't hate. I don't hate. You mix it up a little bit in the middle of the year once you need some more rest time, I guess. I don't know if that helps having these night games. I don't know. I don't know what the feelings are there, but I was surprised there were 4, but that's probably just a product of being in a big market. So
yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. So yeah. You know what? Thanks, Roger Goodell. Really appreciate it, you bastard.
So why don't you kick us off for the first 4 games here?
Okay. So first week, week 1, I'm sure it'll definitely be on Sunday, September 13th. Bears at Detroit Lions, Fox, noon. I think that is an absolute W. Matt Nagy owns Matt Patricia, and that continues in week 1. Week 2, I think, week 2, Bears host Giants. I think the Giants suck. That's another noon one, CBS. I'm sure Jim Nantz will be in town for that one. It's a huge one. Bears 2-0, they're going to smoke the Giants. Giants have nothing on us. Week 3 at Hotlanta. Atlanta. I'm trying to think the last time that the Bears visited it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It's been a bit. I always picture, I think we talked about in a previous episode, Urlacher jumping over the Falcons offensive line basically to sack Michael Vick in like 01, maybe?
Or 02? He owned Vick.
I see that as the Bears' first loss. I think Atlanta's going to be decent. They finished the year strong. I think the Bears are 2-1 going into week 4 hosting the Colts. Phillip Rivers and the Colts. That's weird.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I think the Bears get it done, and they start 3-1 to start the year. Another CBS win at home. Dan Doinks, what do you think?
I have the exact same thing. I have Bears 3-1 losing to Atlanta as well. You hit it right on the head. I guess the only one would be the Colts, I guess, would be maybe a coin toss. I don't know. I don't believe in Phillip Rivers. Still surprised they were adamant about getting him over Brissett. God, I don't know why. Yes. I can never remember his name. I saw the Bears haven't won in their week one game since 2013. Did you see that?
No.
That's shocking.
It's probably because they play the Packers a lot, right? Is that part of it?
Yeah, so this is the year to get it done. I think Detroit has like an even worse week one record, I want to say. So something's got to give there. Week 2 with the Giants, why is it on CBS? Those are two
That's very
NFC
weird.
Teams.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Maybe it's the app that I, or the the site that I'm on. Does yours say
it
CBS?
It says CBS
too?
As well. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's stupid.
That's,
it makes
that's
no sense.
Strange. That's strange. But yep, we're same 3-1. Why don't I tick through the next 4?
Boom.
So we have week 5 Thursday at home, Thursday night against the Bucks. What an awesome game with Brady and Gronk.
Yes.
But I'm not a believer in the Bucks. I feel like they're getting way too much hype right now. Brady, I mean, the Patriots wouldn't have let him just walk, right, if he had anything left in the tank. So I think that's going to be a bigger mess than people think right now. But I have the Bears winning. They're going to be all up in Brady's face. Gronk, is even going to be in shape by then. I doubt it. Bears, blowout win, calling it. Okay, week six, Carolina, noon game, Fox, at Carolina. I have the Bears losing that one. That's going to be a weird one. I guess Bridgewater is going to come bite us in the ass, McCaffrey. That just feels like a weird game. That feels like a weird 6-3 game to me. So I guess Bridgewater won't do much. I don't know what my logic is there. all right, week seven, Rams at Rams Monday night. Rams terrible uniforms just released today. Did you see those? And I loved people roasting them, the Best Buy employees. What was it? Someone said they look like Best Buy employee tackling low prices. Crushed me. I have the Bears winning that game. Another team I think is on the downslide. Sean McVay, hot take, he'll be on the hot seat by the end of the year. Boom. You heard it here first. Then we got
Zerdox.
So then we got week eight, New Orleans at home. I have us losing that game. I think the Saints are going to be a problem all year. Another hot take, Jameis is going to be starting that game. Drew Brees is going to be hurt, but Jameis got his eyes fixed. He's going to be awesome and probably beat the Bears. So I have the Bears at week eight going, starting 5-3 on the season. What do you have, Bill?
That is very intriguing. Okay, so I do have a Bears 5-3 start as well. We flip-flop one of these games, though. Thursday against Tampa, week five, I also have a win. I think we're going to smoke their ass. I think Tampa may – I haven't looked at Tampa's schedule. Tampa's coming in 4-0. No matter who they're playing, they're 4-0, riding high, cocky as hell. Brady's never lost to the Bears. And then, boom, he meets Khalil Mack, and we rape him. I said that oddly. With almost like childlike enthusiasm, it was, in a positive way. Sorry,
I was glad to be sitting outside in case I needed a runaway for some reason.
A rape. Yeah, that was weird. At Carolina next week, I also have a loss. I think it'd be low scoring as well. Yes, Teddy Bridgewater is going to beat us 2 years in a row. At the Rams, I see a loss, unfortunately, on Monday night. I don't think the Rams are going to be great this year either. I don't know. Nick Foles, I have no idea how he is on Monday night. No clue, but all I know is that we're going to lose 2 years in a row at Los Angeles. But bounce back at home against the Saints, week eight. We get a little revenge. I also agree. I think Drew Brees will be hurt, but the thing is, I think Jameis will be suspended by then. Reasons unknown. And so it's going to be that, what's the guy's
Taysom
name?
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill.
Overrated.
He's the quarterback. Absolutely. He'll start hot just because, you know, he's that one or two play Johnson. But over the course of a game, he's going to throw, speaking of Johnson's, three picks to Jalen Johnson, rookie. That is his coming out party. Bears win 5-3 to start the first half of the year.
All right. I like it. Why don't you take the next four here?
Okay. So next four, second half of the year, Bears visit the Titans. It's a noon game on November 8th. Dan Doinks will be in the stadium, even if they don't allow fans there.
That's
guaranteed.
Correct.
Yes, that's going to happen. I have a Bears loss. I don't think the Titans are going to be great. That just has a weird, like, at Carolina feel to it as well. So Bears will be 5-4 going into a Monday night game, hosting the Vikings. Kirk Cousins Monday night on the road. No chance. Bears 6-4 going into the bye week. So 6-4, they come out of the bye. They go at Green Bay Sunday night on NBC, and they lose because fucking Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be lighting it up, at least for some of the year, definitely that night, and the Bears lose. But good news, Bears come back and play the dumpster fire that is Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions. Bears win. They go 2-2 in the third quarter of the year, which would put them at 7-5. Dendrix, what do you think?
All right, that was electric.
What you got, Fussy Purchase?
I'll tell you right now, this is when, at the end of this, we'll have different records. So you're right. I will be in the house when the Bears play the Titans week 9. Already booked my Airbnb, so that's lined up. Haven't looked at tickets. Are you going? I feel like I can't get a strong commit from you yet.
No, to be honest, I forgot about it until right now. So, okay. Yeah, I'd love to see what happens there.
I will be
there. Never been in Nashville.
It's beautiful. Beautiful town. I have the Bears winning that game. That's Ryan Tannehill. Got his money. He's going to suck now. What is it, Derrick Henry? Is he supposed to scare us against our defense? No.
No.
Not at all. So that's going to be an easy Bears win. Bears 6-3 after week 9. Next week 10 at home, Monday night, Minnesota. You hit it right on the head. Kirk Cousins, give me a fucking break. No way he's doing shit against the Bears. Prime time, I mean, they could be playing Naperville North for all I care, and he'd still shit the bed. So Bears 7-3 after week 10. Bye week, week 11, I'm pretty sure they won't lose then. Week 12 at Green Bay, I'm with you. It will be Aaron Rodgers will kill us for the last time because he's getting benched and or traded after that. And that'll be Jordan Love time. He'll probably get injured right at the end of that game, but it'll probably be on a game-winning touchdown. So, but I have the Bears losing that game, so it'll be 7-4 after week 12. Week 13, we don't even need to talk about. Matt Patricia sucks. Bears win in a blowout, so I have the Bears 8-4 after 12 games. Good math. Boom. Not a big math guy.
That was good. Why don't you finish us off, so to speak? You finish our audience off.
Oh, rub. Okay, so the big one that I think we're going to talk about at the end of this segment, the Joe Ostrowski game, Bears versus the Texans, week 14. Noon game on CBS. That makes sense because they're an AFC team. So thank you, TV schedule, Dan. I have the Bears winning. Close game. Bears 9-4. Deshaun Watson's probably going to put on a show, but the defense is going to be a little fired up with his chirping. He's going to throw a terrible pick at the end to Jalen and all of his Johnsons. So I have the Bears winning that game at 9-4. Bears week 15. At Minnesota, noon game. Weird, it's not end of the year. I feel like this is a week 17 lock, Bears at Minnesota. I was going to throw a bone to a guest we were supposed to have tonight, and he had to cancel at the last moment. He'll be on a future episode, but he has a Vikings podcast. Spoiler alert, was I not supposed to tell people that? Do you
care? That's okay. No.
But I was, you know, Matt Nagy, he's just beating the hell out of the Vikings. So I have this game ending in a tie. So I have the Bears at 9-4-1. So
that's great.
So it'll be a tie. It'll be a late missed field goal by whoever the Vikings kicker is these days. It'll be a horrible miss. Wide left. It'll be great. Week 16, Bears at Jacksonville will be no problem. Nick Foles is going to throw his big dick all over that pool. I don't know the stadium name, but he's just going to dip his dick in that pool. Easy win. Bears are now 10-4-1 after week 16 going into the final game for the NFC North title against the Packers. Noon game. Actually, this one might get flexed to a primetime game.
Flex.
So that one's going to get flexed January 3rd, real close to my birthday, in case anyone cares.
Ooh.
This is going to be the Jordan Love is going to be playing now because Rodgers will be hurt. Bears win by at least 10 points. So whatever the point, there'll probably be Bears -3 at this point, -4. Well, no, Jordan Love will be quarterback, so they'll probably be given 7. But I have the Bears winning, finishing the season at 11-4-1.
Wow.
NFC North champs.
Yes, yes. Wave the flag, raise the banner. Dan Doinks, I love that. All right, so my final four picks here. So reminder, I have the Bears at 7-5 going into the final four games of the year. Bears hosting Houston, win 8-5.
Boom.
Bears going at Minnesota, win 9-5.
Boom.
Bears at Jacksonville, boom, win 10-5.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. Week 17 hosting Green Bay, we're 10-5, but here's the weird thing. Green Bay, their only win of the year was against us earlier. 1-14. We win on a last second Eddie Pinheiro field goal because throughout the records when the Bears play the Cheeseheads, 11-5, we win the division and we have the number 2 seed. Don't get a bye because of the new way that it is. Only the number 1 seed gets a bye.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We, but Things are great. Matt Nagy's job is saved. Mitch actually plays week 17 because Nick tears his groin at Jacksonville. He was slapping his cock all over the state of Florida. So he's got to sit out at least 1 week. But Mitch gets us that division title. We edge out the Vikings due to sweeping them and because Kirk Cousins choked during another game probably at Seattle.
I don't know why when he said full slapping his dick all over Florida, I just immediately pictured him on an injury report with COVID cock.
what would that look like? I don't know. Do you have to put it on a respirator? We shouldn't make those jokes, should we?
No, let's move on. So I've seen a lot of early predictions like we're doing here by, I don't know, Pro Football Focus, probably all the Twitter experts, and they have the Bears finishing anywhere between like 5 and 7 wins. That surprises me. Yeah. I mean, I didn't expect it to be that low. I don't think they're worse. I mean, yeah, they may not be like Super Bowl contenders. I mean, obviously, maybe our record, our schedule. I mean, our schedule might be a little inflated just because what else do we have to do right now? But it's 5 wins. I mean, are we that much worse with Nick Foles? We actually have a couple tight ends who may do something. I don't totally get that. But what am I missing? I guess that's my question for you.
I think is it an assumption that the middle of the schedule there, things are just going to go completely sideways when they got to go Tampa? Do people just think they're not going to beat Tampa and then they got to go on the road 2 weeks in a row with Carolina, LA, and then come back with the Saints at home and then at Titans? They think just everything's going to think we're going to lose every one of those games? No. Tampa's getting a real soft ride right now. Like you said, overrated. People are going to be riding high on those bastards. And honestly, the schedule ends in a positive way if you assume the Texans come in to a freezing cold Soldier Field in December where they're not going to be as explosive. And maybe they may suck this year without Hopkins, right? So we own the Vikings, even though, you know, the last week of the season we played their JV squad, but we still won. Nagy still hasn't lost to the Vikings. No, and then, at Jacksonville, home against the Packers. So if we're relevant after our bye week with, 6 games to go, then we could make a legit week because, you know, I'm on the team.
Yeah.
We could make a run. I don't know what PFF bases their stuff on, but I've seen the same. Is there a Vegas over-under? Bears went, 7.5?
7.5, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess based off of last year. I don't know. If you're Vegas, I think that's about right, I guess. If you're being from an outsider's perspective, not a guy who's predicting a tie against the Vikings in week 15 or whatever. So I'm clearly not setting lines, but I was surprised by that. I don't see it. I mean, I guess the Vikings might be bad. You know, they might be better, but Green Bay, I don't see it. How did they get better? I mean, if anything, they just added some turmoil with moving up to draft a quarterback who's going to replace your star player, your Hall of Fame player. So,
They were a real fluky 13-3 last year. I'd be curious to see what the predictions are for them, but that's fine. I mean, we're probably better off being under the radar versus last year.
There was a lot of hype,
Yes. So there's a lot of things that went wrong last year with Akiem Hicks, with a huge, missing him last year. I don't know how many games it cost him. Who knows? Yeah. But that changed the defense.
Yep.
We didn't get as many turnovers. I don't know. The offense was one of the worst in the league. If the offense is one of the worst in the league again this year, then okay. Then 8-8 would make sense.
Right.
Hopefully it won't
be. Hopefully not. You were talking about the middle of the schedule. When I think of the Rams, I think their window's closed. They don't scare me at all anymore. I don't find them to be content. I mean, we're getting rid of Gurley. I mean, Jared Goff, does that guy scare you? I mean, I think Tampa and the Rams are two teams that don't scare me as much as the hype is trying to make me believe they're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's fair. No, I mean, I'll be honest. I'm starting to talk myself into that Rams game now and just up in the ante. I may have sold the Bears short as the number 2 seed is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think. I might have. Yeah, you might have. Yeah. They might be 16-0 It's funny. It's funny to talk about it now. That game's what, 5 months from now? I don't. Yeah. This is like, so much is going to change from now to then. But yeah,
well, and it is weird too. Thinking of, like, let's assume, let's be positive. Let's assume the NFL comes back as scheduled. Who knows about preseason and camp and all that crap, but who cares about that? Let's just say week one happens when it's supposed to, but there's no fans. How, like, that's going to impact lines like crazy. There's no home field advantage outside of travel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be afraid to go into Lambeau Field with no fans the same way that or Minnesota or wherever, right? I don't know. I mean,
who knows?
The teams are still the same. I don't know how much you'd give credit for home field advantage anyway in the NFL, but it's just going to be totally, totally unpredictable from a gambling standpoint, especially.
Yeah, and even if they, you know, let's say mid-season, let's say we host the Vikings on Monday night with no fans, but then we play in Minnesota and then they have fans, like, that's kind of an unfair advantage, right? I mean,
yeah,
just splitting it, kind of, whatever. But I don't know. That'll be, it definitely seems to be trending that way, so
yeah.
Who the fuck knows?
Who knows? Speaking of not knowing, so did you see Bears Twitter and Twitter in general just blowing up this past weekend with Deshaun Watson? So backing up, John Feinstein, I don't know if he had an article. I don't know what. For some reason, he was talking about the fact, he was just making a big case about African-American quarterbacks and stuff like that, and he had mentioned the Bears as an example of not even talking to Deshaun Watson. I don't know if he mentioned Patrick Mahomes. I should have brought up the original tweet. But then that was batted down by America's favorite credit card salesman, Doug Gottlieb, and saying that, no, that's not true. They had their heart set on Mitch. It has nothing to do with whatever. And then Watson came out and said, Bears didn't even talk to me, right? That's what he said. Bears didn't even talk to me. And then Twitter absolutely exploded. So did you see, I assume you saw that because you are a Twitter maven?
Troll. I did see that. And my initial reaction is, who cares? Like, just, I think it turned out Watson was wrong, right? I think that eventually there were interviews that he had made, I think on the Rich Eisen show, where he said the Bears, he did talk to the Bears.
Yeah.
So, but a part of me is like, this, who gives a shit? Like, clearly the Bears missed on Mitch. Like,
right.
That's, so anyone, the Bears Twitter, I mean, I guess I'll be interested to hear what your take is on it on Bears Twitter as a whole, but I felt like the conversation was more fired up outside of Bears Twitter. It was like more non-Bears analysts and Twitter people who are fired up about it, whereas us Bears fans, like, yeah, we fucked it up. Like, who cares if they talk to him or not? Like, I don't,
right.
I guess it didn't really, I guess this is the first I'm hearing there was maybe there was a race issue part of it. Like, I just thought it was like, all I saw was Deshaun Watson said the Bears never talked to me, and that's when I thought everything exploded.
No, it started. Yeah, it started as a race. I'm going to pull up the original tweets just to give you some context. Yeah. So I just found the tweet. John Feinstein. So he's the writer. He's a big college basketball guy, right? He wrote that book about Bobby Knight, which kind of was against Bobby Knight. Whatever. Doesn't matter. So he said this was on May 3rd. He said, Bears declining fifth-year option on Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback they had chosen ahead of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. I asked Doug Williams where Mahomes and Watson would have gone if they'd been white. Ahead of Trubisky, he said. Ahead of number two, I said. Absolutely, he answered. So he stoked some racial flames, if you will. So that started the conversation. Then Gottlieb jumped in and said, not a racial thing. Then Deshaun Watson answered, the Bears never even met with me or talked with me or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So you had asked about the reaction.
I missed the complete first part of that. I guess I'm
not
as tapped in as I should be with the Bears Twitter.
No, it is. So it was, but it was, so I think Bears fans' reaction was, as you described, mostly like, come on, do we really have to be reminded of this again? Like, this is annoying. But people that are not Bears fans, from what I could tell or whatever, use it as an opportunity to basically say, oh, Bears are racist.
Yeah,
that's why.
Okay.
And you know, I'm not trying to diminish people's opinions on that. Like somebody, Roddy White, former wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons, came to Deshaun, like he responded to Deshaun saying they never talked to him. He said, yeah, Bears have never had a black quarterback in my lifetime, which is not true.
Yeah.
And it just made me feel weird. It's like, I mean, Ryan Pace made a dumb decision, but
Right. Everybody's
calling Ryan Pace a racist
because of it.
That's a bridge too far. Easy for me to say, but that felt weird.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. That seems insane to me. I mean, why would he misevaluate a guy based off of that? And it's going to end up getting him fired. I mean, let's be realistic. He's on the verge of getting fired because he took the wrong fucking quarterback. And so... Now that I know that, it seems even more insane. But the idea that they didn't even talk to him seems to be just false. I mean, either Watson was lying at some point because he said it on the Rich Eisen show that he did talk to the Bears, or he was full of shit then, or he's full of shit now. And I'll be honest, I don't care either way. Like,
doesn't matter. The
deal's done. Like, the Bears made the wrong move, which, as they tend to do with quarterbacks in our lifetime, to use Roddy White's words.
Yeah. So, no matter their race,
right,
most Bears quarterbacks have sucked.
it's insane. That was a true there's moment where nothing's going on, so we're going to be mad and talk about it in ourselves into circles just to kill time. So,
Yeah, Pace has been beaten up enough. We as Bears fans know exactly the mistake that was made, and at the time, not to defend Pace, but I guess somebody has to if he's getting beat up, Mitch was the clear top quarterback by most experts to be picked above Watson and Mahomes. You and I loved Watson. Like,
yeah,
we just loved him, but it was easy to understand at that moment. Like, nobody was even talking about Mahomes at number two or three.
Oh, no.
So,
no way.
So that needs to be on the record because people pretend like that was a thing, and that was never a thing.
Well, and look, there's no worse Bears fan than the guy who says we should have picked Mahomes, right? Because there's so many of those guys. Like, get the fuck out of here. Nobody knew Mahomes to be this good. I mean, what did he go? What did he end up going, 10th or 11th?
So that was...
Every team in front of him didn't take him. If everyone knew what he was going to be, everyone would have traded up to get the first pick to take him. So shut the fuck up with the Mahomes stuff. I'm done with it. Anyone that tells me that I see in person, I'm like, all right, we're done talking. Because you're just an idiot. So the Watson thing, I'm with
you.
I'm in total agreement. Yeah. We blew it. We should have taken Watson. But shut up, meathead Bears fans. But Watson thing's stupid. Like, I think I care even less now that I know more about how it all started.
Yeah. No, it just kind of probably needs to stop. Like, I was listening to Parkins and McNeil, and they were making an argument that Pace needs to address this now.
Oh, get out of here.
Why would Pace need to address it? Why? Like, it's a 2017 NFL draft.
Are you sure that wasn't Joe Ostrowski saying that needs to be addressed? He had to love all this. I mean, I saw a little bit of his. Actually, now that I think about it, I saw a little bit of his chirping, but it felt less harsh towards Pace. I'll have to go back and look, but it even felt like he was like, all right, let's stop this. I felt like he was getting exhausted by it because everyone's now that I think about it, everyone was on his corner, his hot take corner. And he needs.
So he wanted off.
Yeah, it wasn't cool anymore. Yep. He's not the cool kid shitting on Pace. Now it's everyone in the country. So, Joe O, he is going to rub himself raw during that Bears Texans game near the end of the season. Oh my God.
Can you imagine? Good God. Somebody definitely get him a bunch of bad news. What? A bunch of what? I was going to say Band-Aids, I think. I don't even know what just happened. Like, my nose and my mouth both stopped working at the same time.
I didn't know if you were going Band-Aids or bologna. I was like, is he going to say baloney?
That would have been incredibly weird, but no. Anywho, this has been Bears Schedule Talk. Anything else? Is any other Bears news? Oh, wait. They signed Ted Ginn since we last talked.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Ginn and some other old bastard. The safety, the former Texan.
Oh, yeah.
He's like 29 or 30.
He's supposed to be awesome, though. Gibson?
Yeah.
Gibson.
Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
Not bad.
Why is he signing to a one-year deal with the Bears?
I think he was a salary cap casualty, and I don't know that a bunch of teams have a ton of money left.
Okay.
I think it was just bad timing. So,
but he's,
apparently we wanted him last year, but we had to settle for haha on a one-year deal.
Yeah, but I think that solves our safety problem. You know, I was getting a little pissy about them not sort of dealing with that at the draft. Maybe they knew at the time they were going to scoop him up. So, kudos to that racist Pace for picking him up.
That's right.
Ted Ginn, though, he has to be in his mid-50s by now, right?
Think so. I think it's actually Ted Ginn senior, not junior, that they picked up.
I mean, Bears Twitter was pretty excited about that Ginn pickup, and I'm like, oh my god. I mean, yes, maybe like 10 years ago, but it's hard for me to get excited about. I don't know what he's got in. I think his stats were fairly mediocre last year.
Yeah, they were all right, like 500 yards, maybe a couple scores, an average, I don't know, 18 yards a catch. I'm totally pulling that out of my ass right now. So I'm not a big Ted Ginn statistics guy.
But while we're on it, though, there's the Saints cut a guard, right? Wofford.
Yes.
He's still hanging out there, right? And seems like the Bears, initially, the rumor was they wanted him, and then they're definitely out. Is this like a negotiation ploy? Like, it seems like the Bears are constantly mentioned around his name, and I haven't seen anybody else, but I'll fully admit that I'm more immersed in Bears Twitter than anything else. But
right.
Is he good? I mean, I don't even know who he is. Is he actually good?
I think he's made the last three Pro Bowls, but which is great, I guess. But I think, again, if you love PFF, I think they hate him, or somebody said he's the slowest guard in the league or something, which, again, I don't think he's going out for Ted Ginn type streaks, so don't really care that much about that. But yeah, it seems that I'm sure we're tied to him because I'm sure racist Ryan Pace had something to do with his draft pick back in the day with the Saints. So sorry, Ryan.
Should we just call him racist Ryan from now on? We'll
I think we have to.
Racist Ryan. To. Oh, man.
Yes.
Poor guy. Why are you so racist, Ryan?
Oh, Ryan. It feels weird calling him Ryan, doesn't it? That doesn't sound right for some reason.
Hi, good to meet you. I'm Ryan. Let's negotiate your deal.
Come on in. Hey, Ted Ginn. We're playing for keeps this year. We're going to sign every 35 and over available free agent.
We'd give you half a year deal if we could. Sit on right here, Teddy.
I would have interviewed Deshaun Watson if he was a white, but he wasn't.
Sorry, I'm looking for white guys with real beat-up cars after they get drafted. And we go to a nice Italian restaurant in Chapel Hill. He's my guy, trading up for him. Sit right down here, Teddy.
I used to really like Drew Brees when I worked for the Saints. Hi, I like white quarterbacks on Lamb Ryan Pace.
That Taysom Hill's real handsome, isn't he? Oh, boy, I bet he can bench press a lot.
Sweaty Teddy, why are you naked in my office? I'm Ryan Pace. Hey, Ted. Nice dick.
Have you guys seen Ted Cruz lately? He looks a lot like Tom Ricketts.
He does. I'm sorry, I almost spit out my hams there all over my computer. He does. They do look similar. Oh, God.
I don't like it. As a Cubs fan, I don't like it. Maybe we should end this segment. I don't know. I don't know if we need to keep going.
It sounds fair. This has been Bears Schedule and additional signing old people and racist Ryan Pace talk on Zero Dykes.
Hi, I'm Ted Cruz, and I'd like your vote in 2020. I'm a turtle, and I watch porn. After
after weeks of speculation concerning his health, North Korea's elusive leader Kim Jong-un has resurfaced. That is according to state-run media, who released pictures of the 36-year-old dictator opening a fertilizer factory north of the capital.
And a double for Chang Ningbo. As he did, Eddie, go outside and he took it to right.
Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread.
Zero doinks! Zero doinks! Zero doinks!
Hams and bread. Hams and bread.
Welcome back, Zero Doinks. Follow us at Zero Doinks. It's red hot. Dan Doinks has been in control of Instagram lately. He is sliding into a lot of private stories and DMs. Very wet. It is America's favorite gambling segment, Hams and Bread, and there's a lot to gamble on right now. Isn't that true, Dan Doinks?
So much Korean baseball to gamble on. Are you tapped into Korean baseball? I'll admit I'm not.
I haven't watched any live. I saw some highlights last night on SportsCenter, and I'll be honest, I was bored as fuck.
Yeah, it looks like terrible baseball. What else can we gamble on? How's Marble U1 racing?
Did you give it a shot? Did you watch
it? I did. I watched the first one, but I didn't get past that, and that's my fault because the first one was electric. Yep. I loved every second of it. The white marble did blow it. If I recall, you were hot and heavy on them. They did blow it. But I get it. I get all of it now. The fans, marble fans, how they get back to the start line, finish line, whatever you want to call it. I get it. It's hot.
It is hot. It is hot. That marble run. So the one thing I know, like I went on a YouTube absolute spiral just looking at all these marble runs that people set up all throughout their house. Have you ever seen any of this stuff? I've never in my life spent much time concerned about such things.
Never.
I love it. These things get like 1 million to 3 million views. How long does it take to like set that shit up throughout somebody's entire house? It's like from the second floor down to the first floor outside. These fucking marbles, man.
Yeah.
Steroids? They're on steroids, right?
Steroids, yeah. No, it's all fake. It's all CGI'd. You're talking about like the dominoes and stuff in the house? Like it's like the new domino thing?
I'm a Pizza Hut guy myself, so.
Are you? No, I'm Little Caesars.
Ooh. You're a big crazy bread guy, aren't you?
Speaking of dominoes, I'm going to jump back to that. I stopped by Rick Fieldsman's house he had a birthday recently, and I swung by. Social distancing, hello. He had sitting in a lawn chair in his front yard the Noid from Domino's, a big stuffed Noid. You remember the Noid?
Oh, I remember the Noid. Yeah.
That is not a joke. There was 100% with a balloon tied to his wrist. I'm like, Rick, is that the Noid sitting in your yard? He's like, yep. That was it. That was the end of it. Don't know anything else. The Noid.
Big Domino's guy, maybe? Yeah.
I guess. Did Rick own a franchise at some point before he lost his thumbs?
He might have. He might have. Yeah, there may be. Well, next time he's on the podcast, we will grill him about how he actually lost his thumbs. It probably, yeah, they're in a pizza somewhere, not a hot dog.
Do you imagine getting a Domino's pizza with a couple of Rick's thumbs, just dirt under the nails? Ugh. Would you eat it?
Yeah, I would.
I would
but
too.
Then I'd call to complain to get a fresh pie.
Are you one of those guys, like if you have a meal, you'll eat a meal, like half of a meal and send it back?
No.
Are you one
of
those guys?
No. I don't think I've ever sent, like I'm too embarrassed to be that person, quite honestly. Like, it's got to really be terrible for me to even like say anything to a waiter, assuming those are going to be things again. I'm not that person. Are you that person?
No, I'm also very rarely will I be like, this is wrong. If I'm in like a nice steak restaurant and it's not cooked right, I'll send it back because you're paying a shitload of money for a good piece. That's about the only time I'll do it. But some of my roommates who will remain nameless, maybe my wife, will send stuff back. She'll have a quick trigger finger. What do you say that? Yeah. Itchy trigger finger.
Yep.
Ooh, the hams are slapping now. It's not coming out right. She'll send stuff back pretty quickly. And I'm just like, she'll be like, can you flag down the waiter? I'm like, nope, that's your job. This is your thing. Yeah, uh-huh. I'm gonna pretend like I'm on my phone while we have this awkward exchange with the server.
I hate it. You know, my one of the roommates in my house, too, who may or may not be my wife, also has an itchy trigger finger when it comes to that, too. And I'll be honest, it's mortifying. I hate it. Like, it would have to be literally a giant nest of Rick Fieldsman's pubes on top of my hamburger for me to even consider sending it back at that point. At that point, actually, that may enhance the meal, though. That may not be a great example.
I hear that cures COVID, Rick's pubes.
It might.
I heard that from Dr. Fauci.
Let's send it to Abbott, see what they think.
Jim Abbott? You're a big Jim Abbott guy, if I remember right. I can't think of Jim Abbott and not think of you. Why is that?
That's a compliment, I think. It's not like I like Michigan. It's not like I'm a... He was on the White Sox. Is that when we met, when he was on the Sox? No. I feel like that was like mid-90s.
I feel like you had a poster of him in college. Am I wrong? Am I thinking of a different Bill Doinks?
Yeah, you're probably thinking of a different one who had a shirtless Chuck Norris
answering
a telephone.
Okay.
And like, maybe Christopher Reeve on a horse.
Chuck Norris is just a poor man's Tom Selleck, right?
Yeah, very poor man's Tom Selleck. Mm-hmm. Mr. Baseball, is that coming back? Like, are they going to do a sequel? Did they already do a sequel? Is there Mr. Baseball 2? Mrs. Baseball?
Oh, I would love that. Not that I'm aware of. I don't know why they're just, whoever owns the rights to Mr. Baseball doesn't just pop out a second one. Mr. Baseball again.
Here it is. Follow-up from last episode. King Jong-un? Alive.
Oh, alive.
Alive.
Wow. What happened there?
Is it him? Is it a block of cheese that has been made to look like him? I don't know.
I saw a rumor that he like faked his own death to see who would turn on him in his own government. And obviously he would murder them in the most brutal way possible. I don't know. I'm still not buying it. I have trouble believing that everyone was like, for sure, like, yeah, he's dead. To now he's just like popped out like one of those clowns in that box you turn. And you're just like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Kim Jong-un. Like, he's just like, yeah, I'm back, bitches. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's still dead.
No, he definitely could be. I think, did you ever have one of those clown boxes as a child or no?
Yeah, I'm sure I did. I don't know.
I think, you know what, I was talking to Beazel not too long ago.
Yeah.
And she was showing me some of your old toys, and she did. She showed me one of those old clown boxes, but the shocking thing is, when that clown popped up, John Wayne Gacy.
I knew it was coming. I knew you beat me to the joke. God damn it. I knew it was coming.
His house is on the market, right? I think that I saw something on Instagram, right? It's not the actual house, right?
Yeah, it's like the house that was built on it. Why would you ever live there? There's got to be so many ghosts on that property. I think you pay less. You should pay less in taxes if you know there's ghosts in the property, right?
Yeah, I think it's in the Constitution.
It's a ghost exemption.
Yeah.
I mean, how have we talked about John Wayne Gacy for like four straight episodes?
We can't even say not a big clown guy at this point. We are big clown guys.
I think we're... Have you seen the movie It?
I've seen the original and It too. Not the original, the most recent It. I have also seen the original. Bad answer. I've not seen the sequel to the most recent It. What? How about you?
No, I've not seen it. Worth it? And is John Wayne Gacy in it?
No, JWG. Yes, I'm a huge Stephen King guy, so I'm a little biased.
Oh, are you? You read read his books?
Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't read any of his new ones in probably like 6 years, but huge Stephen King.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good for you.
Sorry about that.
I got no follow-up to that. Fucking right. Nerd.
He doesn't look well, Stephen King. Yeah. He looks very peaked. He kind of looks like Dan Wiederer, actually.
Hmm.
So, eat a sandwich?
You mean Last Dance expert, Dan Wiederer?
Yes. Somebody give that fucker a Bears team to follow. Although, even with Bears news, I feel like he's writing more about a documentary. It's very strange.
He's on the verge of getting fired. I kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Something's up with that dude.
Something is big time up with him, and now that...
Sorry.
That sounded orgasmic. It really
felt good.
Did.
That one came from my groin.
Oh.
Tom Selleck.
Pow. Now that Rich Campbell is no longer part of the Chicago Tribune Bears beat, I don't think he left at a weird time. I think he became an accountant or something very strange.
Yeah, corporate job.
Now he's sharing, he being Dan Wiederer, sharing his podcast with Brad Biggs. Have you listened to any of it? Ugh.
Are you kidding me? No way would I listen to that. Not even close. That sounds horrible. Just a skinny little dancing sweaty skeleton with a fat, sweaty Jabba the Hutt. Fuck off. No fucking way. Fuck those two. Well, all right. So we mentioned Last Dance. I'm not caught up yet. I didn't watch the last two, but why don't you give me the quick lowdown?
Yeah, there was a lot of Birmingham Barons stuff. So little cameo from Terry Francona.
Ooh.
A lot of I don't want to spoil all of this for you, Dan, at all. But Michael still definitely holds a lot of grudges from some of the shit that he got when he was trying to be above the Mendoza line as a double-A hitter for the Birmingham Barons.
Wait, he's still beefing over his minor league baseball shit?
The coverage that
get
he thought
out
was
of
unfair.
Here. No, that's awesome.
No. It is awesome. It's
he is
awesome.
The ultimate grudge holder. I mean, there's literally nobody that will ever top him, ever.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's...
Yeah, it's awesome.
He's
it's
angry
totally awesome.
At literally everybody. And he just makes shit up, right? Like, if he doesn't have enough people to be angry at, he'll just make it up. Is that right?
Yeah, so there was some hot Twitter thoughts about that. Yeah, some LeBradford Smith, former Washington Wizard / Bullet, that lit the Bulls' ass up, like, on a back-to-back. Like, on Friday, he was on fire, and Michael made up something that he said or didn't really acknowledge Michael after the game, and then they played Washington the next day and Michael just went nuts. Just to rub it in, but it was so weird. It was a lot about Michael's pettiness, which I love. To me, it's endearing. To some, it may not be, but I love it. There was a lot about their finals win over Seattle.
Okay.
And they're going to finish off with there's a lot with the Knicks as well, and then they're going to finish off with the Eastern Conference Finals in 98, and then I assume the final championship against the Jazz. There was some more Scottie Pippen stuff, I think, making him look bad. I'm kind of getting these confused. They're all blending together.
So I did see Pippen was someone wrote a piece, maybe in the Tribune, maybe the Athletic, I don't know, about is Pippen's legacy tarnished because of this documentary? And I just assumed some bad shit was popping up from the last few episodes. So, but get out of here.
It's the same stuff that everybody already knew.
Right.
Like, there's nothing new. I think the director gave him a chance to apologize, basically, or kind of or whatever, and then you'll see what happens there on episode 6 or 7. Seven or eight. So maybe that's it. No, to me, I don't know how 9 and 10 are gonna go, but Scotty, at least as Bulls fan, maybe general sports fans had no idea about the sitting out when Kukoc hit that game winner during the, you know, whatever the fuck year that was when Michael was retired. They already talked about the migraine stuff where I forgot that he actually played against Detroit.
To me, it was always
like he just sat out. But
he was terrible. I didn't remember. I had totally forgotten the migraine piece of it, which is awesome that Jordan's just like, yeah, I don't fucking believe you, pussy.
Exactly.
But what would, like, I don't know. I don't know what, like, MJ, what did you think? Like, he just, he was lying? Like, I don't know.
Stupid.
But yeah, I think it is. I think that's probably more, you're right that the national audience doesn't remember the Kukoc shot, Pippen sitting out. So now it's a bigger deal. But we locally all remember that and how it was kind of a dick move. And I've heard a few interviews the last couple of weeks of like ex-players and stuff. And they're like, yeah, he regrets that. Like he was very apologetic about that, like almost immediately to the team. So it's interesting to hear you say he put him, I assume he didn't apologize, which is interesting. But Pippen's an asshole. I think he's, I think it's actually, I've had this conversation many times during this documentary with Jordan Doinks. Because Jordan had a interaction with Scottie Pippen 2 years ago. And I don't know if I've told you this. She was at a Bulls game for a work event, and Scottie Pippen was there as an ambassador. And she's like, hey, Scottie, we have a rabbit, and we named him after you. His name is, well, her name is Scottie Pippen, and we call her Pippi. He looked her dead in the eye, just turned around and walked away and didn't say a word. So I'm like, what an asshole. Like, no tipping Pippen. He's got that reputation. And Jordan's like, she's convinced that he's just socially awkward, and it's more about that and not that he's intentionally being an asshole. And I'm like, if you're a fucking ambassador for the Bulls, your job is to talk to fans. That's literally your only job, is to take pictures with them and
make them feel important, right?
Yeah,
basically.
And Sylvie was on a podcast recently, and he had talked about an incident with Pippen as well. Same thing when they hired him to be an ambassador. They're like, "You got to do this. You got to take pictures." Did you hear this snippet about how he said they had a meeting with him? Like, we know you don't like to do this. You have to sign autographs. You have to take pictures. He's like, "Yeah, not a problem." They pull up to the United Center where there was a bunch of fans by the Jordan statue, and he goes, drive me around to the other side so I don't have to see him. It's like, come on, man. I think
what are we paying you for?
They should have fired him on the spot. And he has been fired, right, recently?
Yes.
What was the reason for that? I feel like that never came out.
No, I think from the Pippen side, I don't think he said he was fired, but, you know, I'm working a lot of stuff with ESPN. I think he does one of those shows with Rachel Nichols. So I think
that's his
excuse. Yeah. But Horace Grant, I think, was going to take his gig, which is also kind of weird. Horace makes a few appearances. There's some Magic talk, Orlando Magic.
Okay.
So there's some good stuff there, I would say. It's great. I mean, I think you're absolutely going to enjoy it. It's not just baseball, because that would be kind of weird. So it's a bit about, they address the rumors about, was Michael secret suspension,
conspiracy,
a lot of conspiracy talk. So actually they got David Stern on it prior to his passing, so he speaks to it. It's great. I don't want it to end. I'm already sad that there's only two left. But I think, according to the director, I think Scotty will look better after the last two episodes. One more thing about Scotty, too, that I don't remember this at all with his, I think it was prior to these two episodes for sure, when he delayed his surgery going into the final year with the Bulls to kind of spite the Bulls. I don't remember that. So I think part of that, it's like, Scotty, you're, like, if you come out of this looking bad, no offense, man, but there's like three examples of it. It's like unforced errors on your part. I know you signed a shit contract, but you still signed that too.
You signed it, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
And one of the episodes where it was addressed, where he signed that, and Jerry Reinsdorf, who he's never in the media, and he's the one who said, "Scotty, this is a bad deal," which I don't believe that.
Yeah, no way. You think Jerry's going to be talking a guy out of a bad deal to save him money?
But you signed it. Like, don't be an asshole. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to jive with that, but. I'm sorry for anyone who's listening who this is painful to have Bill explain to me what I'm going to see because I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I know what happens. There's not really much that could actually spoil it. So, but I just realized.
But I do feel the need to prevent spoilers from something that happened in 1998 or sooner.
But it just dawned on me. I was like, oh, this has got to be painful to listen to someone last dance around what the last two episodes were. So I promise I'll watch it, and before we record the next episode, I'll be
beautiful,
fully caught up. What do you I was thinking of Scotty, and he's fairly newly divorced to his fake Kardashian wife. Jay Cutler getting divorced. I don't think that had happened since the last time we
That's true. We That's met. True. I guess I never saw their show, their reality show, to be honest with you. I know that Jay has been probably a more popular figure since he's been retired with Bears fans in some way. I think it's there's a lot of revisionist history there too, where everybody loves Jay now in general. It's like people fucking hated him when he was the Bears quarterback. Do you remember all that shit?
Oh yeah.
And I always defended him at that point. Yeah. Like,
well, I defended him for way too long, but at the end there, I was like, there's no more. I can't defend him anymore.
Yes. Yes.
And he's
people shit on him so unbelievably hard, which is a Bears quarterback thing. Probably because he's white, Ryan Pace.
Ooh, racist Ryan.
Yep. I guess I'm not shocked that somebody couldn't stand to live with either Jay Cutler for the rest of their life or Kristen Cavallari. I might have fucked up her
name. No, I think you got it. I think they strike me as two awful people. So it's like... not surprising at all, I guess, that they didn't make it, but it's funny. I feel like she's trying to trash him publicly now and say like, oh, he's it seems like he's lazy. He's not motivated. The dude made like over $100 million.
Right.
Like literally what else does he have to do?
Right. Oh my God.
He got his brains beat in for years. Like, I feel like he's even more of a sympathetic character now with Bears fans, NFL fans. Like, wow, good for you, man. You got away from that crazy chick who's trying to trash you.
Yes.
And it came out, I think, that he froze her assets after she asked for like a like a $5 million or something. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah. No. And yeah, nobody should feel bad for... I don't know if she's worth more than him. Probably not.
No way. I don't think so. I think she was on one of those like terrible reality shows.
Right.
But I don't think she herself has made $100 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't give a shit, I guess.
Fuck them both, I guess.
I had something else for you. Korean baseball.
Yep.
Jay Cutler.
Yep.
Last Dance.
Yep.
How's your quarantine going?
It's just, you know, same shit pretty much every day. Although it seems like there's reason for optimism for sports coming back even more than last episode in general, right? I don't know if that's what was on the tip of your tongue that you couldn't remember.
You got
remember.
It. Baseball, okay.
Baseball in particular.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
And even basketball, it seems like Adam Silver's kind of starting to ramp up some thoughts too. What do you think? What do you think the odds are for both, either, neither? What do you think?
For basketball, I'll be honest, I could not care less. I think they should just give up on it. I mean, we're already. Well, when would the season have ended? End of May?
June. I think finals are June, early June.
June. So yeah. we're not going to hit that. So just punt on. I mean, at this point, you're gonna mess up next year if you just keep pushing it back. I mean, maybe this is just a product of someone who roots for a bottom dweller team like the Bulls. Yep. So
I thought you were a big Grizzlies guy.
I were when they were in Vancouver. Big country guy, but yeah. Not country music. Fuck that. That music sucks, but I love Nashville. Baseball, though, seems closer. It seems like the owners are trying to shit on the players, which seems about right for them.
Yeah, typical.
And I don't blame the players for being like, fuck off. You know, you want us to share revenue? What? No, go fuck yourself. Like, you take the hit, you billionaire bitches. So I don't understand that at all. And I don't blame the players for standing their ground there, but it's going to happen. Like, I think baseball's going to happen in some capacity with no fans for sure. NFL, I feel like, is definitely going to happen. Yeah. Maybe with no fans, because those players need cash. Like, nobody's planned for this properly. Anyone, even the regular person, but let alone like millionaires who are probably going to run into a lot of debt if they don't get paid sooner rather than later. So they're going to do everything they can to make this happen. And July feels quick to me. If nothing's going on now baseball wise, it feels quick to me. What do you think?
That's their goal, right? 4th of July, have like an 82 game season. I thought I saw last night.
Yep.
I guess it's possible. I suppose. Yeah, I feel like there's going to be hiccups, though. It's funny that so going back to the basketball thing real quick, I think who's the large man who used to follow LeBron James around, ESPN guy? Winhorst.
Oh, Winhorst.
So he's
basketball Brad Biggs.
Yeah, exactly. Real grumpy. I don't like the guy. Am I anti-giant reporter guy? Is that my thing?
You're fat Sorry shaming, which is which is a shocking revelation to me.
No, it's not personal. It's just
thank
with
God
reporters.
I'm not a reporter.
Just with reporters. So he last night on Scott Van Pelt was saying that he thinks, like, if it was up to him, he would say NBA don't do anything, let baseball make the mistakes, basically live through kind of the trial and error, and then basketball should come back with the playoffs in October or November.
Okay.
Crown a champion and then start the next season right after. That was something that he had heard as a proposal, and that's something that he thinks that I can't imagine that the NBA Players Union would be okay with that. Maybe. I don't know. What do I know?
It's all about the money, right? Like, it's all about the players being like, shit, we need to get paid, but they've already gotten most of their money this year.
Yeah, NBA's
so
exception.
They're not as desperate to be like, we need to, they're not like baseball play. Like, I don't know how baseball salaries work. Like, NFL, you get paid when the season starts, right?
Season only.
So,
yep.
I don't know if, I think baseball might be the same way. So, but basketball, they've already gotten most of their pay for the season. So,
well, plus the draft too. Then what are you gonna do about the draft? And then all of a sudden you have a new roster with like a 2-week window between the end of the playoffs and the regular season. You got rookies, you got free agency. I don't know.
Right.
That to me seems absurd. Like, I could more easily see the NBA saying just fuck it. You know, we can't crown a champion this year, or we'll just force the issue in June or July, hope for the best, and see you in November after that. I don't know. It's weird. And then it seems like college football is losing some momentum, or it's kind of that weird, like, okay, so are some conferences just going to play or some not? Like, California already, the state already said they're not going to have students on campus, right, in the state of California in the fall. So do you send the the student athletes. Only, I don't know, like that whole thing is
you couldn't
weird.
Do that. You're not like they're not employees,
they're,
right?
Yeah,
like
how not do you required, right.
How do you yeah, I don't see any scenario where that works.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nobody knows.
So weird.
But
so
I think
weird.
I think football is such a big business. It's so far out that hopefully there'll be some testing, better testing for players and staff and all that at a minimum, that they're gonna get that rolling. Like there's no way they're letting the football's gonna happen in some capacity.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So but whether fans will be there or not, I mean, that's a bummer. I'd love to be at Soldier Field week two against the Giants, but that feels pretty unrealistic at this point.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, it's sort of like, I mean, could you cap each stadium with, instead of, what is it, 66,000 at Soldier, could you say that only, you know, 20,000 are allowed in and they're scattered throughout? That would also be incredibly
weird. What would be
right.
the point of that?
Right,
I mean,
right. That would be very strange.
Because how would that even work from the Bears' perspective?
Know.
Be like, all right, we're going to charge 20,000 fans. They're going to have to pay
$1,000
four times
ticket.
What they right. were going to originally pay.
Right.
And it's going to be like a lottery system, but it's going to be spread out. And they're going to sell them on the secondary market for, you know, four times what they paid. And then there's only four people in that group who are going to spend little on concession. Like, none of that makes
right.
sense to me.
No.
You either are all in or it's none.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, hopefully that Rick Fieldsman pube sandwich that's going to cure COVID,
ooh.
Hopefully that comes into play very
quickly.
Keep
growing those pubes, Rick. Keep growing. You grow and grow and grow those pubes. Grow and grow and grow those pubes. Grow in. I think that's how it goes.
I think so. Not a big country western.
I'm really, just a quick update for me. I'm pretty sure my neighbor next door heard me singing that growing pubes song. There have been three spiders I've had to pull off my computer, so this is not the best setup for recording a podcast.
That's great. It's good to know for future reference. Anything else you want to add for the good of the group as we wrap up episode 7 of season 2? We really rolled Hams and Bread into the outro, but that's okay. It is just, it's the off season. We do whatever we want here on Zardonics.
Zardonics. No, I think we covered it all. And it's just good to talk
it
Bears,
is.
Talk silly shit. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
God bless America.
God bless America. These colors don't run. Thank you for isn't
Freedom
that a
Fries.
Thing?
Yeah, remember
yeah.
Freedom Fries
yeah,
when that
absolutely.
Was a thing?
I do remember that. Thank you, as Dan said, for listening, for putting up with all of this malarkey. And thank you, Anchor, for hosting your first Zardonics episode. Apologies, and you're welcome. We haven't changed. Mark Hammond? Harriman? Hammond? Hammond?
Harmarin.
We're not going to change for anybody. The man won't change us.
We still say cunt on here.
Whoa, just happened. Hard C. Thank you. We love you. We will talk to you soon, hopefully with at least one special guest from the northern lens of Minnesota.
Dustin.
Love. See you next episode, Zardonics.
Bye-bye, racist Ryan. Hey, Rick, it's Dan. I know you're checking your phone, you fucking pussy. We're trying to get you on the podcast, you asshole. I know you're not doing a goddamn thing. Just walking around looking for your thumbs. Call me back, you fuck. We'll be right back.
Okay, hold on.
Did I get it?
Looking to engage with Bill and Dan Doinks on social media, but you're too afraid to ask where? I'll keep it easy for you. Follow us at Zero Doinks on Instagram and Twitter. You can shoot us an email if that's your style, zerodoinks@gmail.com, or visit us online, zerodoinks.com. That's where some more magic happens. Thank you for listening. Looking forward to engaging with you and giving you a huge virtual hug on social media.